Parshas Yisro starts out the following. It starts by Yishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Hosei Moshe's Kosher also looking to Moshe Yisro. Amok Yosi Hashem Yisro Minatoyim. Yisro, the Kohen of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, heard everything that God did for Moshe and the Israelites, his people. Kadosh Baruch Hu took out all of Israel from Egypt. And everything was all good. That's the beginning of the Parsha. Now, it is very strange what Moshe Rabbeinu calls his kids. Veshnei Bonei Asher Shem Lachon Gershom. The name of the first one was Gershom, and we were introduced to Gershom before. We knew about Gershom before. Ki Omar Gera Yisi Baritz Nachuya, because he said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I am a stranger in a strange land. I'm in a strange land. So he called his first son Gershom. The second son, who we have not met before, he may have been born, may not have been born before. There's a question if he was born. But he was definitely born at some point, when Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, or before he was gone. But it says, Hashem Lachad Eliezer, meaning he was conceived before he left, and then he was born after he was gone. But Hashem Lachad Eliezer. The other one's name was Eliezer, Ki Eloki Aviva Zriva Yatzilinu Micharaparo. God of my father has saved me, and he brought me out, he saved me from the sword of Paro. He has helped me and saved me from the sword of Paro. Now, I would think that would kind of remain in your mind a little bit more than just being a ger. I mean, the fact that I am sojourning in a strange land, although that might be something tremendous, there might be something great there, that's not going to be the first thing that I have on my mind when I was just saved by a miracle from Paro's sword. My first son would probably be named after God saving me, God helping me, Eliezer. And then I'll happen to mention that I happen to be a ger in a strange land. But Gershom shouldn't have been the first kid. It shouldn't have been the first kid. Okay, so here's how it goes. The Chofetz Chaim says that although we know that Yisro forsook all of Avodah Zarah, he left Egypt and he said, I don't want to have anything to do with the Avodah Zarah anymore. He decided to become his own man and eventually found his way to Judaism. Eventually, after he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and everything, he left and started to join the Jews. Although that did happen, he still wasn't the greatest role model for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get everything from him. He didn't get everything from him. He looked at Yisro and he saw a tremendous person, but he grew up, although in Paro's palace, he grew up around Amram and Yocheved. He grew up around the higher hierarchy, but the Levium in Klal Yisrael. He was growing up among royalty in Klal Yisrael, and then he went to Yisro's house. Yisro's house, although Yisro was a great man, he wasn't a ger yet. He didn't have the minhagim of Jews, and he didn't act like a complete Jew. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of, says the Chofetz Chaim, is that if I hang out with Yisro, no matter how great Yisro seems to be, I'm always going to be second rate. I'm always going to be second rate, and I'm going to think of myself as a different person. So we call this kid Gershom, to always remind himself, when I'm with Yisro, I am a ger. I don't belong here. I belong with my fellow Jews in Mitzrayim. I don't belong with Yisro. I am a ger. I am just sojourning here. But people can become very confused by that. You know, you're living in America, so you want to think of yourself as an American. And that's not necessarily a bad thing to do. You end up thinking that, well, you look at the important people in this world, and you think, well, that's the ikkar. This is the ikkar. If somebody gets themselves on a massive sign in the middle of Times Square, well, that's probably a very important person. He probably didn't take steroids, and he probably didn't cheat on his significant other. You wouldn't assume that. That would be a very, very cautious person. But it's not. It's just not. And sometimes we get confused by that. And sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, Gershom, that we are not supposed to be here. We are not supposed to be with these people. We're not supposed to look at them as being our role models. We have to have other types of role models, different types of people, and to remember that this world is purely a preparation for Olam Haba. The Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal. Every time, whenever you hear a mashal from the Chofetz Chaim, you just get a little happier inside. It's a great little mashal. It's a cute little mashal. It says the following. A guy is going to a fair. In this fair, he's going there just to make all the money that he needs for the year. He's going for 2 days. During these 2 days, he's going to spend all the money that he has. He'll buy merchandise. He's going to take that merchandise back with him to wherever he lives. And this will be his business for that year. If he doesn't make enough merchandise, if he doesn't buy the right merchandise when he's there, then his family is going to go a little bit hungry. They're not going to have as much money. It's all his parnasa. Everything he does is based on these 2 days. So you can imagine, if he's standing in the shuk and he's going around and he's buying stuff, and all of a sudden a guy comes up to him, you know, he wants to tell him a funny joke. And he taps him on the shoulder and he's like, you got to hear this joke. Let me tell you this joke. So the guy will turn to him and say, listen, I only have 2 days here. I've got 48 hours to make all the money that I can make in order for my family to survive. for my family to have money. Without this, my family is not going to have any money. I can't waste any time. I can't take any time listening to your jokes. I'm not going to listen to your jokes. I don't want to have anything to do with this. I don't want to be with you right now. I don't care what kind of a newspaper article you're trying to show me. I don't care what kind of a joke it is. The businessman will yell, "Get out of here. Get out of here. I don't want to have to do anything with you." That's our nefesh and olam hazeh. Our nefesh and olam hazeh is taken over by the Yetzer Hara, who just wants to show us something cool. Just want to show you something so cool. And it's a Super Bowl this Sunday. Yeah, it's a Super Bowl. And I just want to show you something so cool. And all it takes is a 30-second commercial from certain websites, which are absolutely terrible, to throw off any kedusha you might have gotten that day. You could have learned for 6 hours straight, and then you come into the Super Bowl and see one certain commercial, and you're destroyed. And you're absolutely destroyed. And this is the rule. I mean, these people paid, I don't know how much it is, $2 to $3 million, to be able to have a 30-second commercial break in the middle of the Super Bowl. Well, that should be something that we look forward to. To make $3 million, that would be awesome. To spend $3 million on a commercial, well, that's unbelievable. That means you're making much, much more than that. Well, that's the anchor. That seems to be the anchor, right? To that, we have to say, Gershom. No, I am just a ger. I am just a ger. I'm nothing more than a ger. This is not what I'm supposed to do. And if you think that way, and if you act that way, then you can be. You will be able to turn yourself away, to turn your head away, just for a little bit, so that doesn't affect you. Yisro understood that Moshe Rabbeinu, who is unbelievably different, thoroughly different from any person they had ever met before in his life, thoroughly different. There was no one like Moshe Rabbeinu, that he had to feel like he was a ger. And he went to Yisro and he said, "I'm not at home here." Can you imagine that? You're living by your father-in-law's house. He's giving you all the money that you need. He's taking care of you. He's saying, "Hey, you're living in his house. What are you going to name your kid?" "I just want you to know, I don't belong here. I am a ger. I don't belong here." Did something happen outside? The last person that, either way, regardless, you're a ger. You're not anything more than a ger. You say that to your father-in-law while you're living in his house. That's ridiculous. But he was willing to go ahead and say it. That's why he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kol hadavar hagadol yaviu elecha." That when he said, "I want to set up this system of judgment, I want to set up all the basins, all the court cases, everything that you have in the court system, I want you to take care of it. You take care of the Davar HaGadol, the Davar HaKaton, the other Sanhedrin will take care of. But you take care of the Davar HaGadol." What's the Davar HaGadol? Got to see this pasuk. Pasuk says in Pasuk Chaf, "Vodatam lahem es aderach yokuvav es amasa asher yasun." What you're in charge of, Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of judging the cases, which could be done by anybody, you could do that. Other people can judge. All you need is a sefer to be able to figure out what the halacha is. What you're going to do is you're going to teach them what it's like to live in this world. The derech asher yelchu ba, the road that you should tread, the way you should be. Derech eretz, how to act, how to be. That only Moshe Rabbeinu could do. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to figure out, you got to name your kid Gershom. You got to say, "I don't belong here." That's what you're supposed to do. I'm going to tell you something from the Maral Diskin. This is an unbelievable word. Yaakov, if you don't mind, can you grab like 20 chumashim? Grab as many chumashim as you can. Grab as many chumashim as you can. Oh, all right, can you grab it with him? Just grab it with him. Try to grab as many as you possibly can. This board, you have to see inside to be able to fully get it, to be able to look at it entirely, to be able to see it. So I'm going to hopefully have a chumash for most of the people here. But it's an awesome board that tells you the level that Klal Yisrael was on when all of this happened. There's not too many times where you'll see something like this where it shows you how B'nai Yisrael is. Now, just know, thank you very much, B'nai Yisrael knew that it's impossible, absolutely impossible, for there to be an entire city. Thank you so much. All right, pass them for those tables over there. It's absolutely impossible for everyone to have, for a whole city to be made of carpenters, whole city to be made of shoemakers. You can't have that. Can you imagine if an entire city was just cleaners? I mean, you wouldn't make much money, and everybody would be doing the same thing, and everybody would just be cleaning each other's clothing. There wouldn't be much else going on. You'd have to spread the wealth, so everybody would be doing one to the other, but there wouldn't be anything else going on. You can't have a whole city full of everybody doing the exact same thing. So B'nai Yisrael the Taina, and listen to this Taina. They said, "We don't want to go to Har Sinai." You know why we don't want to go? Because we're not all going to learn Torah. Not everyone here is going to learn. Just like you can't have a city full of carpenters, or a city full of shoemakers, or a city full of cleaners. You can't have a city full of people that are learning Torah. except for B'nai B'rach. You can't have that type of a city. It's impossible. Why? Because you need some people to be making money. So it's impossible. So a bunch of Jews said, well, wait a second. That guy will learn. That guy will learn. That guy will learn. Let those guys learn. But me, I don't want to go to Har Sinai. I'm going to be a shoemaker. I'm going to be the smith, the blacksmith. I'll be the tailor. But they didn't all want to go to Har Sinai. They said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. There's no purpose to us, because there's no reason for everybody to learn Torah. What are you going to ask?
Torah gives us a commandment. They use the Yom V'Laila. It's for everyone. That applies to everybody.
The Gisabo Yom V'Laila is translated by the Gemara Nedarim. We're not arguing this point. It's a good point. But the Gemara Nedarim says the Gisabo Yom V'Laila can be accomplished by saying Kriya Shema in the day and Kriya Shema at night. In theory, a person can say Kriya Shema in the morning and night, and that counts for your learning for the day. Obviously, we don't want to hold that way, but in theory, that would be good enough. So I'm not downsizing. The question is a good question. But meaning, in the grand scheme of things, the people were trying to claim, let me just do one little thing, and then let me work the whole day. What do I need to go to Har Sinai for? I need to go to Har Sinai? I'll memorize Shema, that's it. That's all I got to do. To that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, that's not true. The Yisem Li Skula, the Pasuk says in Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Hei. I want you to be so different from every other nation in the world. You're right, other nations in the world, everybody has to be different. One guy has to be the blacksmith, one guy has to be the lawyer, one guy has to be the doctor, one guy has to be this and that and the other. And you can't have everybody going to law school, or everyone going to medical school. That's not going to happen. You got to have everybody that's completely different. But for you, every Jew can be a Talmud Chacham. And I can prove it to you. Because it says after every person's Shemona Esrei, and it doesn't differentiate by any person, Yuritzom v'necha Hashem olokeinu v'olokeinu v'osein, may it be your will, Shibana v'esem v'ekshir v'meir v'yameinu v'sein chalkeinu b'sora secha. We, every single one of us, should have a chelik in your Torah. Everybody. Because I have my part, and you guys have your part. And I can't get your part. You have a portion in Torah that only you will make a chiddush on. And if you don't do it, then that chiddush will go unnamed. And when Mashiach comes, we'll have to bring it to all of us. But every single person here is a chelik in Torah. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're all supposed to be Talmid Chachamim. Everyone has a chiyuv to learn Torah and to become an unbelievable Talmid Chacham. You can't tell me that you're not going to be a Talmid Chacham, or you don't have the ability to be a Talmid Chacham. You could be a Talmid Chacham on your level. Are you going to have parnasa? Of course. But you have to think of yourself as, I'm learning Torah, I'm a Talmud Chacham, and in order for me to make my money, I'm an accountant, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a teacher, or I'm whatever else it is. But you have to think of yourself as, number one, I have a chiyuv to learn, and I have to learn. And everyone went to Har Sinai. Men, women, and children, even women, have a chiyuv to learn. And they can't get off that chiyuv. Now granted, they don't have to do as much as men do. We have a bigger chiyuv than they do. But they still have a chiyuv to know the halachas, to know what they're doing. They have to know what's going on. You can't just stop, just be out there. No exceptions. Everyone there, be at Har Sinai bright and early, or else you're dead. I'm going to throw all of Har Sinai down in you, and you'll die. I'm going to throw everybody down. It's a crazy line. We are supposed to be a mamleches kohanim begoy kadosh. A kingdom of kohanim. Not just a couple priests here and there. Every person is supposed to be that priest. Every person has the ability to be that kohen. So stop fooling yourselves into thinking you can't do it. Because it's not you. That's your yetzer hara, and you're lying to yourself. Because everyone has that ability to learn and become that Talmud Chacham, and you're just denying it for yourself. And you have that chelik in Torah, you just haven't seen it yet. It's just not there. That's why, when they got to the mountain, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't let them climb up. Because if they do, the Pasuk says in Chof Aleph, V'nafal mimenu rav. Many people will, V'nafal mimenu rav, it'll be that so many people will fall down. So many bad things will happen. It says, V'yom Hashem Losh, Reda Yibam, Peni Erzul Hashem, don't let them come up to Hashem Liros. V'nafal mimenu rav, so many bad things will happen, so many people will die, says Raro Diskin. Rav stands for every Jew. Is so chashuv. You lose one Jew, you're losing a Rav. You're losing a Talmud Chacham. You're losing a Gadol B'Yisrael. Every Jew, I don't care who it is, even the fool who went up to Har Sinai after I told him not to, treat him as if he's a Rav. Treat him as if he's a Rav. I don't care what kind of a person he is otherwise. It just doesn't make a difference. He is a Rav because you still have that Chelik in Torah, and you can't deny that. You can't deny what your power is. Here we go. There are, of course, different levels. if you open up your Chumash, if you have a Chumash in front of you, it's much easier if you look at it inside. Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Gimel. Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Gimel. Look at it. It'll make a lot more sense when you're seeing it inside. The Pasuk says, Moshe Allah Elohim, Moshe went up to God. Ba'ikrilav Hashem Minahor, Lamor. God called out to him from Har Sinai saying, Ko Somar Leves Yaakov, Misaged Livnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the house of Yaakov and speak it over to Bnei Yisrael. There's Beis Yaakov and there's Bnei Yisrael. Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael. Yaakov and Yisrael. Rashi says there's a difference between Noshim and Anoshim. Woman and men. That's the major difference between over here. Now, here's the problem. Beis Yaakov. That's where it comes from. Beis Yaakov comes from the girls over here. Now, the problem is the following. If you skip a couple psukim to Vav, it says at the end of Pasuk Vav, Ela hadvarim asher tedaber al Bnei Yisrael. These are the words that you should speak to Bnei Yisrael. What about Beis Yaakov? What happened to the girls? Why didn't we say that? It doesn't say anything about Beis Yaakov. That's strange. And then, so that's the tziboy of Hashem. This is what you should say to Bnei Yisrael. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu do? The very next pasuk in Zion. Vayavo Moshe came. Vayikra lezikney ha'am. He called the elders of the people. Vayasam lefam is called v'rema ilash v'tzibo Hashem. And he gave them all the words. But he didn't call Bnei Yisrael. What happened to all Bnei Yisrael? He only called the Zekanim. And then the very next pasuk. Vayanu kol ha'am. All the people spoke back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We will do everything that God asks from us. This is not where it says Nasa Nishma, that's later on, that's in Mishpatim. But here they said, everything that God asks from us, we will do. What happened? First it's Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael. Then it becomes just Bnei Yisrael. Then it becomes the Zekanim. And then it's everyone together. Then it's everyone together. What happened? What's going on here? It's a great question from the Maral Diskin, and it just doesn't flow in the Pesukim. You see it in the Pesukim, it just doesn't flow. There's something wrong here. Here we go. You know, there are two ways to be able to, for the reason why you do mitzvahs. Meaning, if somebody would come up to you tomorrow, and he would say to you, because I'm assuming it won't happen tonight, but if somebody would come up to you and say, why do you do this? Why are you bothering? What's the point in doing a mitzvah? You can answer them in two different ways. There are obviously many, many answers, but there are two different ways that you can answer that are general categories. Number one, because God told me to. Because God told me to. And there's no other questions. God said, do this. And I fear God, I love God, I give honor to God, and therefore I'm doing it. No questions asked. Number two, I'm doing it for reward. And I'm afraid of being punished. That if I do it, I know I'm going to get something in this world, I'm going to get Gan Eden, I don't know what I'm going to get, I'm getting something. And if I don't do it, I'm going to be punished. Which level is higher? The higher level is clearly doing it because God told you to. No questions asked. Even if God said, I'm not rewarding you, you're not getting anything. Morty, forget everything. You have no reward for anything you do. I'm doing it, I don't care, because God said I should do this, even if I'm not getting rewarded. It's a very high level. A guy who's doing it just because he's afraid of being whipped, or a guy who's doing it because I know I'm going to get something, that's still a level, but it's not as high as the other guy. But you can't tell that to people. Antigonus Ish Socho told his Talmidim, it's a mission on the very beginning of Pirkei Avos. Al Yehu, al to you, Mishamshin et Arav, Almanas L'Kabel Pras. Don't serve the master in order to get a reward. El Almanas Shelo L'Kabel Pras. Just do it not to get a reward. He had two Talmidim. His two Talmidim on Tignes Yishtoko was Tzadok and Baisus. When Tzadok and Baisus heard they weren't being rewarded for anything they did, they immediately went off the derech. They said, forget it. Well, what's the point? I'm not getting rewarded? What am I doing? Tzadok became the father of the Sadducees, of the Tzedukin. And Baisus became the father of, it doesn't really translate into English, but the Baisusin. Of the Baisusin. These people did not believe in the oral Torah, they only believed in the written Torah. They only believed in the written Torah, and that's that. I'm sorry? That's part of it. Pirkei Avos is supposed to be the idea of lifting Mishur Zinov, of being a chassid. If you want to be a chassid, the Gemara Bava Kama says, L'kayim Mili D'Avos. Go learn Mili D'Avos, what it says in Pirkei Avos. That's a chassid. You're 100% right. But what we're trying to say with this, what I'm trying to say with this is, you got to be careful who you tell this to. I can't go up to a guy that I barely know and say to him, listen to me, I got a great idea for you. Here's my idea for you. You ready for it? I want you to go ahead and serve God, but I don't want you to get anything for it. I just want you to do it because there's a God. Can you go ahead and do that for me? You can't say that to a person. The guy will say to you, what do you mean? I'm not going to reward it. How can I get it? I'm not getting Olam Haba for this. That's ridiculous. The guy will be angry at you. You got to tell him, listen, if you can't do it for any other reason, do it because you will be rewarded. And then eventually move yourself up. Don't you want to do it just because there's a God? But you got to move him up. You can't start him off on such a high level. He'll throw himself down and say, forget it, I'm not doing it. If I'm not getting rewarded, I'm not going to do it. You got to start him off small and you end off big. It doesn't mean woman. It doesn't mean woman. Beis Yaakov is not referring to woman. Beis Yaakov is a lower level. It's a lower level. It's the level of Yaakov. But there's a higher level. That higher level is Yisrael. Doing it for the right reasons. Doing it for the best reasons that you can think of because there's a God, purely because there's a God. So here's what's going on. The Nashim who were Yaakov, who was Beis Yaakov, what he wanted to tell them was tell them all about Schar V'Onesh. Let me tell you guys. And he wanted to say that to all the people who didn't deserve it. Listen, you're going to get rewarded. You're going to get punished if you don't do it. And he wanted to tell them this. So he said straight to them, Atem re'isem, this in Pasuk Daled, Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. When they did evil, what did I do to them? I destroyed them. They were punished. Because when you do bad, you get punished. But I saw Eschem, how can I finish? I mean you. I lifted you up on eagle's wings. Don't you see? You can be rewarded. If you do the right thing and you do Pesach, you get your give yourselves a bris milah, you're going to be rewarded. Don't you see this? Schar v'onesh. You want a reason to do mitzvos? Here you go. These are the mitzvos that he told over to the to the people who didn't deserve it. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him. Tell that to Beis Yaakov. To the woman, the people are on a lower level who don't get why they have to do it. They say, oh, I must need it for Schar V'Onesh. Those people who need to be told about Gan Eden. Those people who need to be told about Gehenna. Tell them. Tell them there's a Gan Eden. Tell them there's a Gehenna. Tell them those types of things. But B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, the Tzadikim, they're on a different level. For them, you got to be saying more. That all. And now in Pasuk Hey, this is for Bnei Yisrael. Im shamoa tishmu bekoli. If you listen to my voice, ushmartim is brisi. V'yisim li skula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. V'atem and you big tzadikim, tiuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, you will be more special than any other nation. Eila devarim asher tedabro Bnei Yisrael. I want you to be for me. Lilishmi, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Pasuk Vav. Mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. That's what you say over only to Bnei Yisrael. But you can't say that over to anybody else. You tell that over to the woman, you tell that over to the people who aren't there yet, and they'll get messed up. They'll think to themselves, oy vey, I'm not getting a reward, I'm not gonna be punished. What's the point? I might as well do whatever I want. Might as well do what I want. Start them off slow and then build them up to this level. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is scared. He's scared because he doesn't know what the Bnei Yisrael is like. But he looks at the Bnei Yisrael and he says, I don't know. Some of them look really, really good. Some of them look like they're really good people, but I'm not sure. Maybe on the inside, they're afraid. Maybe they're only doing this because they're thinking they're going to get rewarded. Maybe they're only doing it because they don't want to be punished. Maybe that's why they're doing it. I don't know. So he didn't call everybody. He only called the Zakenim. And he called only the 70 Zakenim, and he said to them, listen to me, guys. Listen to me. Serve God for the right reasons. And he gave them all the words that Hashem commanded to tell Bnei Yisrael. And he told them, this is what I want you to do. Serve God because He is God. Purely for that reason and no other reason. And the Zakenim accepted it. The rest of Bnei Yisrael, though, couldn't stand being left out of anything. So all of Bnei Yisrael listened in on the conversation. They put the cup to the wall. Put the cup to the wall. They went right near the door. And they heard what Moshe Rabbeinu told the Zakenim. And they spread the word out to all the people. And they said, you know what? There might not be a reward. You know what? There might not be anything else. You have to do it just because you're afraid of God. Just do it out of love for God. And the people were acceptant of that. It's a good call. We'll do it. We'll do it. And all the people agreed to it. They said, whatever God tells me to do, I'll do. Purely because He is God, for no other reason. And they were ready to accept upon themselves to be greater than anything else, to do the highest level that could be possible. But God said they're not ready for it. The next pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hini Anochi Boy Lecha Ba'avonon. I'm going to come to you in a cloud, Bavor Yishma'on Bedabrimoch, so that the people will hear when I speak to you. Begam Bechol Yamin Olam, and also in you they will trust forever." Listen to this line, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. How did He appear in front of Klal Yisrael when He appeared down in Har Sinai for the first time? How did He let them know He was there?
Scary.
Scary. Thunder and lightning. thunder and lightning. The lightning shooting down, the thunder unbelievably loud, a kol shofar chazak ma'od. And the Pasuk says, and Pasuk says, v'yechrad kol ha'om asher b'machaneh. The people were scared out of their minds. Scared out of their minds. Now listen to this. The Chovos HaLevavos says, there was a guy who ended up going into the forest. This forest, or the desert, whatever, like an open area where there was no protection. And he slept there every night for a week straight. And a person came up to him and said, aren't you afraid of the lions? There are lions out here. There's bears out here. There's dangerous animals out here. Aren't you afraid that if you sleep in the middle of nowhere, there will be no protection? You're going to be killed. What are you thinking? Why are you sleeping out here? So he said, you know what I'm really scared of? I'm really scared that I'm afraid of a lion, but I'm not afraid of Hashem. I'm trying to show Hashem that I only fear Him. I'm not afraid of anything else. True Yiras Hashem. True fear of God. Not awe of God necessarily. But true fear of God means you're not afraid of anything else. You're only afraid of Hashem and nothing else. That means that if something scary happens, you're not scared. Because you know, Hashem imi lo ira. Hashem's with me. What should I be afraid of? I have nothing to be afraid of. You have to listen to these quick little stories. A young girl was crying. There was a little girl who was crying. Some say it was a Briskerov's daughter. I saw it in two different places. But a young girl was crying. The Briskerov went up to her. You know what the Briskerov told her? Briskerov whispered in her ear, cry over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. If you're going to cry, you might as well cry for the right reasons. Cry for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Go ahead and do that. That's what he told them to do. When, another story. When the Chassam Sofer, after the Beis HaMikdash, after Tisha B'Av happened, he used to stay up that night and do Tikkun Chatzos on the night of the 10th of Av, while the Beis HaMikdash was still burning years and years and years ago. On the night of the 10th of Av, he used to stay up all night on that night after Tisha B'Av, and he used to do Tikkun Chatzos. And nobody knew what he did. Nobody saw what he was doing. One time, one of the Bachurim in the yeshiva went up to the keyhole, where there was a little keyhole in the door, and he looked inside the keyhole. And that night, he watched the Chassam Sofer, the night after Tisha B'Av, cry the whole night long into a cup. He put a little cup, a cup right underneath his eyes, and he cried over the Beis HaMikdash. Cried over the Beis HaMikdash, into the cup. And then you know what he did when the night was over? He drank the cup. Drank the cup. To feel the pain, his own pain. And it wasn't like, oh, it was a little couple drops. Supposed to have been a full cup. Chassam Sofer, that's only 150 years ago. Only 150 years ago, six generations away from me. Although I'm not from his side directly, I'm from Rabbi Akiva Eger, he's a son-in-law, different side. But only six generations away. Only six generations away. It's a different line. If you're afraid of lightning and thunder, you're afraid of lightning and thunder, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, who's the father-in-law of Rav Scheinberg in Eretz Yisrael, the one with all the tzitzis, Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman used to tell his daughters when they were scared and they were jumping out of the lightning and thunder that was going on outside, he said, be scared of Hashem. Don't be scared of the thunder. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the lightning to hit you, it'll hit you. Be scared of Hashem. It's not stuff that we're just saying, like, just use it for that. It's that, honestly, if you honestly start feeling it, you honestly start feeling, I am afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be afraid of nothing else. You think that a God has power. God has this power. The lightning doesn't have this power. God has this power. But here, what happened to the people when they saw the kolos uvrakim? What happened? They were scared. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to test them. Let's see if they're on this level. Are they fully afraid of me? Are they full in their Yiras Hashem? Are they full in their Avas Hashem? Let's see. If they're scared of the kolos uvrakim that happened later on, if they're scared of me... then I'm sorry, but they're not on the level yet. They can't be on the level to just do it out of because I told them to. They're doing it out of fear, they're doing it out of love, they're doing it for other reasons, but they're not ready yet. They're still scared. They're not ready to be on this level. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I appreciate it. I appreciate that Bnei Yisrael wants to do it for the right reasons, but they're not ready. They can't do it yet. It's not time for them to be that way. And Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't accept that from them, and therefore did not treat them as if they were tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael. He treated them as if they were still the as if they were still the Nasha. I'm ending off with the Rav Shor. It's a little bit long of a Rav Shor, but it's a good Rav Shor. Rav Shor says an unbelievable line regarding Shabbos. We've always got to strive to be greater. There's certain things that you can do to be a greater person. So look at a Rashi over here. If you have your Chumashim open, you can look at it yourselves. The Pasuk is in Parakachov Pasuk Ches. It's talking about Shabbos, Zohar, as Yom HaShabbos, Bekadsho. Rashi says at the very end of Pasuk Ches, it says, Tnu Lev, Lizkor Tomid is Yom HaShabbos, says Rashi. Pay attention. Always remember the day of Shabbos. She means Damin Chochifetz Yopeh. Kemazmino LeShabbos. If a good thing comes your way, if you see a great piece of fish, if you see a nice slab of meat, you see a good chicken, say, buy it and save it for Shabbos. Save it for Shabbos. And here's the interesting part. There's Machlokas Beisol Beishamai and this in it. Here's what they say. It's a Gemara and Beitza Tes Dayanu and Aleph. Shammai says, whenever he finds something nice that he sees during the week, he bought it and saved it for Shabbos. If he saw something on Monday, like let's say he saw like something really nice on Monday, he'd buy it on Monday and say, Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, and he wouldn't eat it. If on Tuesday he found something better, then he would take this thing and he would eat it on Monday and he'd buy that second thing and save that for Shabbos. And everything he did, he would always be designated for Shabbos. Lichachila, I want to bring it for Shabbos. I want to use this for Shabbos. That's what he would do. He'd always, his lichachila would save this for Shabbos. I want this to be for Shabbos. Not for anything else. I want it to be for Shabbos. But Hillel says differently. Hillel says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. You have to bless God every day. You find something good, buy it and eat it. And it says about Hillel, Kol Mice of you L'Shem Shemayim. All of your deeds should be L'Shem Shemayim. Don't just save something for Shabbos. It's a nice thing to save something for Shabbos. But treat yourself with respect. You see something good? Buy it right now. Eat it right now. Kol Mice of you L'Shem Shemayim. Everything you do should be L'Shem Shemayim. So wait a second. Shammai and Hillel. Who do we hold like? You always go with Hillel. So why is Rashi giving you an idea that's like Shammai? He's telling you, buy something and save it for Shabbos. No, buy something and eat it right then. And eat it right then. That's what Hillel tells you to do. Treat yourself with kavod. You'll find something better for Shabbos. Don't worry about Shabbos. Shabbos will take care of itself. But eat it right then. So what's the machlokas? What's the machlokas, Shammai and Hillel? And why is Rashi saying like Shammai and not like Hillel? Okay, see, here's the idea. You know there's machlokas if you're allowed to fast during the week? There's someone coming to Orbach nowadays says you shouldn't fast. It's not a great thing to start fasting. It's not the best thing in the world to fast. Nazir also. To become a Nazir is not the best thing in the world. Why? Because you're stopping yourself from doing certain things that you should probably be doing. Like a Nazir doesn't drink wine. You're fasting, you're stopping yourself from eating. You know, it's like, what do you need that for? You know, you're a holy person. You know, stop it. You can eat. You can fast. You can eat. You can drink. You can do these things. You don't have to be that guy who's like getting himself weaker and weaker and weaker, and like the guy who's, you know, giving himself penance. Like P-E-N-A-N-C-E, by the way. That's what I meant by that. But just whipping yourself in the back and saying, I don't deserve to live. I don't deserve to live. It's not for us. It's not for us. But that's machlokas. Shammai holds that a nazir and a guy who fasts is kadosh. He's a holy person. Hillel holds that somebody who fasts and a nazir is considered a chote. It's considered a chote. And let's look how it goes. We all know what Shammai and Hillel stood for. Shammai was midas adin. Shammai was pure midas adin. He got angry. He got upset. He was a person when people came to him to be Megayer and they said, be Megayer while I'm standing on one foot. Be Megayer while I'm standing on one foot. Shammai kicked him out. So what are you doing here? Get out of here. I don't want to see you guys here. I don't want to see you here. But Hillel, when he saw that guy standing on one foot, he said, not a problem. Come in. Kol ma de soni aloch. Anything that's hated to you, al tavid lechavercha. Don't do it to your friend. And go learn the rest of the Torah. You can figure it out on your own. Hillel was midas chesed. He was full of ava, love, and chesed, and everything good. He was all about that. So here's how it goes. By Shammai, you can't eat things during the week. It's better to fast. Because according to Shammai, anything you do, you're going to mess it up. So we don't want you to mess it up. We don't want you to mess it up. So don't eat. It's better to fast. Eat what you absolutely need to, but definitely don't have any snacks. Definitely don't eat more than what is necessary. Just eat what's necessary. You want something special? Save it for Shabbos. Because Shabbos is beyond this world. On Shabbos, it becomes Shabbos-tick, it becomes holy. Oh, then you can save it for Shabbos. Or if you even make it Shabbos-tick, and then you find something greater for Shabbos, then you can eat it during the week. Because it's already Shabbos-tick food. But if it's not Shabbos-tick food, no. It's better to be a nazir. It's better to be a chote. Better to keep yourself away from that stuff and not do anything. But Hillel wasn't like that. Hillel did everything L'Shem Shemayim. He did everything he had in the level of Ava. He said, you have to eat. You have something to do in this world. You have a job in this world. You have to eat. You have to drink. You have to do the right things. All his meisim, everything he did, Hillel did, was l'shem shemayim. You say to yourself, before you eat food, I'm eating this food because I'm supposed to live. Should you go in excess? Should you eat all the snacks in the world and pig out and eat something that you don't need to eat? Maybe you shouldn't do that. But Hillel said, today is just like Shabbos for you. It's a holy day because you're a holy person, said Hillel. You're a holy person, you do holy things. So you got to have a purpose. You got to eat it correctly. You got to do it for the right reasons. Says the Chassam Sofer. Shot behind Rashi is the following. Hillel holds that every day is special. Shammai says, Shabbos is more special than anything else. You can't get better than Shabbos. If you save something for Shabbos, it'll be the best thing you can possibly imagine. Says Rashi, it's very hard to be like Hillel. For a person to understand that everything he does is holy, everything he does is holy. Every food that he eats, every drink that he drinks, it's very hard to think that way. Because it's unfortunately hard for us to remember to make brachos. Sometimes it's hard for us to make bracha achronos. We forget. But every bit of food is Shabbistic. Every bit of food is holy according to Hillel. How could you not make a bracha? We're not like Hillel. We're more like Shammai. We think about things maybe just on Shabbos. And even then we mess up a little bit. Maybe Shabbos makes it a little bit better. Says Rashi, strive to be like Shammai. At least be like Shammai. At least have a Shabbos. Save everything for Shabbos. Build yourself up to be like Shabbos. And if you can, build yourself up above that and try to be like Hillel, where you treat Shabbos as if it's every day. Every day your benching just doesn't take 5 minutes long on Shabbos. Your benching just takes 5 minutes long during the week. We don't think that way. During the week, you got to run. On Shabbos, you got time. You can bench out loud. You can bench with your kids. You can do the NCSY sing-song tune. You can do whatever you want because you got time on Shabbos. Where you got to go? During the week, treat your week that way. That's Hillel. But you can't start off that way. Rashi is telling you, this is shot by a normal human being. This is what a normal person would do. If you can be like Hillel, wow, unbelievable. If you could be like Hillel, but we don't expect that from him. To be like Hillel and to treat every day as if it's the holiest day that has ever been, we can't expect that of a person. So to summarize, Gershom was named that way to remind Moshe where he was. Our job is to learn Torah. Every single one of us has the chiyuv to learn Torah. That's why we all have to be at Har Sinai. There are different levels in how to serve Hashem. Out of Ava and Yira, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to, but the mitzvos remain the same. As long as you're doing the mitzvos, it doesn't matter why you're doing it, as long as you're doing them. And our reality is to be like Shammai, to treat Shabbos as special, and then to build ourselves up for the rest of the week to be special as well. That's all we're in. Shkoyach, guys. Have a good Shabbos.